Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible because it will tell you the state of your heart. If you want to know that the Bible is true, just read what it has to say about the state of your own heart. People are willing to pay a lot of money on doctors to tell them the true state of their physical heart. Maybe they've had some chest pains or feel so weak and weary while climbing the littlest hill, so they worry that their heart is not functioning properly. Do you ever wonder why you sin? Why do foul words come out of your mouth? Do you get angry sometimes for no good reason? Then it is time not just for a physical checkup, but a spiritual checkup. For it would be good to know how you stand before God spiritually. When the Bible refers to the heart of man, it is not speaking of the organ that pumps blood. Rather, it is referring to the state of the soul, the spirit that is made in the image of God. What do you know presently about your soul? Can you determine its condition or its nature? After knowing about God, the next step in true religion is to know thyself. The best book to inform us on the nature of man is God's book, since it was God who made us. Just as you receive a manual for your car from the manufacturer, so you may understand its specifications and maintenance schedule, you need to read the book that is written by your maker. Babies don't come with manuals, but God has given us His book, the Bible, to teach us our true nature. The Bible clearly reveals these following things about human nature. Number one, we are made in God's image. God breathed into man and he became a living soul. You will not get that history by the study of human anatomy or social science, but you will find it in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1. Then number two, we are all sons of Adam and Eve. They are our first parents. All people come from one heritage, one family tree. There is no basis for racism in the Bible, for it clearly teaches that God made man of one blood. Number three, God made man upright and gave him a positive holiness. His nature was biased toward God to joyfully, happily love and serve him. For a time, Adam and Eve did that. Number four, God made one man and one woman as our first parents, and that became the model for marriage, families, and human sexual relations. It was because of this union between one man and one woman that the first family was created, and it became the model for all marriages. God said, "For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." That is the leave and cleave principle. Number five, the whole human race is corrupt in nature because Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed God and plunged the human race into a state of rebellion to God. That pollution of sin has plagued the human race. All men are born with a corrupt, sinful nature. So the Bible tells us in Romans 3:10 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes each and every one in this world. None are exempt. Sin's corruption is in the heart of each newborn child. If you think that cannot be, for the infant is so innocent, just wait until he learns to talk or throw tantrums. That is rebellion to parents. Sin's corruption manifests itself in so many ways. It is the real problem with the human race. Listen to these words by the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Without the Bible, we cannot know our own hearts. With the Bible, we can. "For God knows the true state of your heart." Jeremiah went on to record the Lord's words as follows. Jeremiah 17:10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So, if you really want to know the state of your heart, your true natural condition in God's sight, go to the Bible. It will act as a true mirror to honestly warn you that in God's sight you are a sinner through and through. As you read the Bible, it will act as an X-ray of your life. That's why the Lord Jesus came into the world as our Savior. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You need a Savior because you are a sinner in God's sight. Within you, there is a heart of rebellion to God, and you know it. Think of your own words and acts, or even just over this last week, the things you've said and done. They are filled with horrible things that are sinful. If they appear ugly and horrible to you, things that would make you blush with shame if they were brought to light, then be sure they are horrible sins in God's sight, who X-rays your heart constantly. Know thyself. Until you do, you will make no progress in getting right with God and ready for heaven. Therefore, read the manual. God's book, right from your Maker. He will be honest with you. And so I give you again my Bible challenge to go and read John's Gospel and the Book of Romans. Take 30 days to read the Bible. And as you do that, carefully and prayerfully, you will never be the same again. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're moving now to our message on sowing gospel seed in good ground. I hope that today that you will be a listener that will become a doer of God's Word, and that you will grow and abound in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That's my prayer for you. May the Lord bless you as we let the Bible speak.
Now, I can see it on your face. I got a lot of good hearers here today. That's the gospel story that we rejoice in. And it's not just a little select text from the Bible. It's that great covenant scheme that God in His eternal love chose in His mercy to come down into this world and redeem sinners. And He sent His Son to be our wonderful, wonderful Savior. Now, when God sends that seed into the good ground, into good hearts, they receive that truth. And they say, hey, that's for me. That's the salvation I need. That's the Savior I need. And they open their hearts and they receive that wonderful promise. They put their own name in. That's what you need to do to be a Christian. You've got to put your own name into the promise. And where it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You put your name in there. It's not just a we of the general world's population. It is me and anyone else. Me first. Me, I'm in there. My name's in there. If any man sin, we have a Savior. Any man, that's me. And you've got to put your name in the promise and claim it. Claim it as the good ground would do to receive that word of life. I would be very, very hopeful of anyone that says to me, you know, I grew up for so many years and I had no clue that God loved sinners the way He does. I had no understanding of what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross. But I have come to realize that He died for me. I would have wonderful hope that that person is ripe for salvation. I would have great hope. That is like the seed falling in the good ground. And you will be saved. You will be saved. Now, the third thing to look for in verse 15 is the one who truly wants to be saved hears the word with obedience. There's an obedience. And it says at the end that having heard the word, keep it. And then they go on to bring forth fruit. Now, it's that keeping of the seed. And if we personify the seed falling into the ground as a living person and expanding the roots in that, and it's growing and it's on its way to bring forth fruit. When you hear the gospel and that message gets into your heart, you don't push it away. You don't reject it as the rocky ground would or the thorny ground would. You receive it. You let it grow. You let the roots develop. You let it get a grip of your life. You let it become part of you. And so you keep it. And that's what makes you wise in the gospel. Jesus said when He told the parable of the man building his house on the rock versus the sand, that the one building on the rock is the wise person because he not only hears, but he does. He obeys. Now, this is not salvation by works. This is not salvation by merit, by you and your performance. It is simply you responding to the gift of salvation, which is all of grace. But in it, you must act. You must keep the word. And that will bring you to repentance. You must repent. Now, I thought a long time about this, and I wondered, how am I going to get this over? And the best way to tell you or to share this with you is to remind you what the prodigal son did. When he came to himself after he learned those hard lessons, came to nothing, There he was feeding the swine. What did he do? He came to himself. And he did something about it. He thought about his father's home, and he was willing to cast himself into his father's hands. Are you willing to do that? That's the seed in the good ground, obeying the message of the gospel. And you must call out for the Lord to save you. You might say, but is that not me doing a work? No, that's like a drowning man crying out, save me. And it's because you can't swim anymore. It's because you are perishing and you're recognizing that all your own efforts are not going to save you, that you cry out for help. And likewise, the seed sown in the good ground, when it's doing its work and you are receiving that, acting upon that, what are you doing? You're calling out for help. And that's the way you're saved. You call out. There's a prayer involved. In the book of Hosea, it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. That's a calling on the Lord. You take with you words. So don't just mutter. Don't just say, oh, maybe, maybe. Don't say, someday. Take with you words and make that prayer. Make the call. And that is the seed in the good ground, keeping that seed. And you must cast yourself, lock, stock, and barrel, upon the grace and the mercy of God. That's what the sinner does, trusting completely in the Lord. Now, this can be seen in the life of the Apostle Paul. Romans 1 verse 1. I haven't really gotten you to look up many verses today, so I'll ask you to turn to this one. Romans 1 and verse 1. And here is how he introduces himself. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He leaves everything. He's no longer trusting the world. He's no longer trusting Judaism. He's no longer trusting the fact that he's a Benjamite. He's no longer trusting in his circumcision or his own abilities or goodness. He's abandoning them and he's separating himself unto the gospel of God. Because there's only one gospel, there's only one Savior, there's only one way to heaven, and you cast yourself absolutely, completely, and totally unto him. And you will persevere against all oppositions. The birds of the air, the devil, trying to steal away that seed. And he will. He will. He'll try to cast doubts in your mind. He'll try to tell you you're not really a Christian. He'll try to say, well, maybe you were that day, but not anymore. And he'll come with all manner of evil thoughts in your mind to try and destroy the seed in your heart. But the true good ground, that seed is there. It doesn't get stolen away. And in spite of temptations, and in spite of every wicked way, you continue to bring forth fruit. And those other types of ground, there was the cares of this life, the thorns. And no doubt there are many people who reject Christianity because it's going to be too restrictive. It's going to mean I've got to cease from a whole way of pleasure and sin and worldliness. And I'm not willing to give up my sin. That happens. It happens all too often. And it is a big battle, and many people just give up the gospel because of that, like the seed falling on that stony ground or that thorny ground, and the cares of this life, making money, getting a name for yourself, holding up your worldly reputation, being popular with friends, and perhaps ill health and other things that might come into it, and they hinder you, and you do not bring forth fruit. But the good fruit, the good ground, perseveres and brings forth fruit. Willing to be done with the world, willing to be a separatist, willing to endure the mockery even of friends, willing to have loss of job, loss of career. All of these things prove loyalty to the Lord Jesus, to put Him first. That's what our Lord Jesus is teaching in this parable of the seed in the good ground. It not only hears, must hear, but it not only hears, it keeps and brings forth fruit. What is that fruit like? Well, if someone came to me and said, you know, I used to be so in love with the pleasures of this world, maybe it's the music world, and I'm not going to get into all the ills and wrongs of music, you know them all. But if someone says to me, for Jesus, I'm willing to put it all in the past. I'm willing to be done with all of that because I want to live the Christian life. That's the fruit. There's repentance, there's a new life. And doing it for Christ, not doing it for merit, doing it for Christ, because He loved you so much. He died on the cross and bore it all for you. You're willing to separate from the world for Him. And that can go down the line of many things. When I was a new Christian, I was involved in the Young Farmers Club in my home area, just within a radius of about 5 miles. There would have been a number of young farmers, and there was this Young Farmers Club, a bit like the 4-H Club in North America. For all intents and purposes, it was seemingly, nothing too serious going on. We had a few drama times and put on presentations. We would visit farms for stock judging and all of that kind of thing. But it wasn't Christian. And there were young people there whose hearts were not for the Lord. And without anyone ever telling me or suggesting to me, Ian, it's time to give it up, I took it on myself. And I remember to this hour, the evening that I said, and they had made me treasurer, by the way. They had made me treasurer of this Young Farmers Club. I can't remember what all that involved, but I was kind of in the inside of the thing. But I remember the evening that I brought the treasury book, and I said, I think you're going to need a new treasurer because I'm now a Christian, and I won't be attending. Well, it's a bit like the silence I'm experiencing now. There was silence in that meeting. What made me do that? My Bible. My answer is my Bible. Not a person in the world told me to do that. But let me tell you, it brought me from the direction of the world into greater service for Christ. I'm not going to say that night I was perfectly sanctified or I had some great experience. It was just a matter of obedience. It was obedience separated unto the gospel. And I took that step of being a witness for Christ. And later on, I invited those friends to come and hear the gospel. Remember that night I preached on John 3:16 for the very first sermon I ever preached? I had some of those young farmers' friends in that meeting. Now, all of this seems very personal and little, but it's the kind of fruit that the Lord is talking about. Separating yourself more and more unto Christ, unto the gospel. A Christian is a lover of holiness and is personally separated from the world. A Christian cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the world and have a testimony for Christ. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, I want to say thank you, Lord, firstly for saving me and giving me the grace to take that step. And there were other steps I had to take. But what about you today? You have heard the word. You have received it. You know it's true. Will you keep it? Will you bring forth the fruit of calling on the Lord personally to save you, and say, Lord, whatever I have to give up in this world to be a disciple of Christ, give me the grace to do it. And you trust the Lord to be your Savior. Would you call on the Lord today to save you? Boys and girls, visitors, friends, would you personally call on the Lord? Take with you words, make it a real prayer, write it out if you must, but cry to God that He will save you and that you will be that seed planted in the good ground that keeps the word and brings forth fruit. Oh, what a change it brings. When Jesus is in your heart, you'll know it. And you'll not be able to hide it. Others will see that you've been with Jesus and He is with you. Let's close in prayer, please. Father, we thank Thee for this time in Your Word. And what a wonderful thing to be born of the Spirit and to be in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for this good seed, the seed of the gospel. And we do pray today that You will work mightily to convert and save. Hear the cries of sinners as they call upon Thee. And, O Lord, have Thy way in every one of our hearts. Bless us for Jesus' sake. And now we pray Thee to dismiss us with Thy blessing. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with Your redeemed people, now and evermore. Amen.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.